and its eyes to the Easter morn. It's by Ello Wheeler Wilcox. Well, welcome everyone today on this beautiful Easter Sunday. Thank you for coming out and joining us on that snowy Easter day. Today I'm going to talk about, first of all, the pagan origins of Easter. And then I'm going to talk about the resurrection and what are we resurrected to and what is the life after. And lastly, I'm going to talk about Easter. We're given a new way to look at the world and how we live in it and how we're given the opportunity to restore our lives. The title of the talk is Life Restored. Ostre, other known as Ostara, was the Teutonic goddess of spring. Eggs have been dyed as a symbol of fertility and an invitation for fertility for thousands of years, going back to 3,000 years BCE. For over 5,000 years, we've had eggs. The hare has been a symbol of fertility and reproduction for even longer than that. But it took the Americans to meld these two ancient traditions into an event where we have a hare distributing eggs. Not even hen eggs, sometimes they're chocolate eggs and everything else. Easter today is a $16.4 billion holiday in the United States of America. It works out to $141 per person is spent in Easter in the United States. Part of that comes from an old Scottish tradition that it brings bad luck if you don't wear something new on Easter. And this was the origin of the Easter bonnet, because in the Depression times and older times, it was a lot easier to put a few decorations on a hat and call it a new hat. The concept of a death and a rebirth goes far back. It goes far back as far as 2400 BCE with the Egyptian Book of the Dead and the idea of a crucifixion and a resurrection goes far, far back, precedes Christianity even into the Zoroasters. So this idea of rebirth is not anything new on our plane from a spiritual standpoint. I want to talk a little bit about a word that we use, and that's paschal. You may have heard of the paschal mystery or Paschal has actually two definitions. One simply means Easter, that of a pertaining to Easter. So you could have a paschal bonnet, or you could have a paschal egg. But it also refers to the Jewish Passover. And the significance of that for us is that on Maundy Thursday, you know, last week we talked about how Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And during that week, he preached and he performed miracles. He did all kinds of things. He got in trouble. But on Maundy Thursday, they celebrated Passover. And their Passover meal was what we know today as the Last Supper. The Passover celebration in historical times goes all the way back to when the Hebrews were enslaved in Egypt. And they suffered the 10 plagues to free them, and the last of those plagues was the killing of the firstborn. And the Hebrews were notified by God that if they were to put the blood of the paschal lamb, which is the spring lamb, on their door, the angel of death would pass over them and kill the others. The God of the Hebrews was not a friendly guy. I mean, that was pretty rough. But that is the idea of the Passover, and that is why what Jesus was celebrating with his students, his disciples, on Maundy Thursday. We celebrate often by having ham on Easter, and some may think that that is somewhat of an affront to our Jewish friends, as they, of course, prohibit ham. Okay, so if we can look at this idea of resurrection, what are we resurrected to, and what is this life after death? When I think of resurrection, I think back to the Swanson River fire. Now, last year we had a fire down on the Kenai Peninsula, and I think it was the Funny River fire. And, you know, we had some smoke blow over Anchorage, and we knew that there was a fire there, but that was tiny compared to the Swanson River fire, and David corrected me, it was 1969. That fire was much larger. It burned all the way from the mountains to the inlet, and I think it burned all the way from Tustamina all the way up to Turnagain Arm. I think the only thing that stopped that burning north was Turnagain Arm. And it was a deep fire. I mean, it was burned way down deep into the ground. I remember driving across the Kenai Peninsula, the Sterling Highway, in the summer of 70, and it looked like a moonscape. I mean, there was nothing alive. A few little skinny trees that were all black were standing, and that was it. Gave the appearance of nothing could live here. And yet by the next spring, there was grass. By the year after that, there were bushes growing. And in a few short years, the entire north end of the Kenai Peninsula became one of the most productive moose habitats on the planet. And herein lies our symbolism. We have the fire, which is the crucifixion. And then we have the death, which is the destruction that was left and the horrible. I mean, nothing could live in that. And yet out of that comes a rebirth. Out of that comes a resurrection. And that symbol plays forth. It's not only in Christianity or in other spiritual traditions. It applies in our daily lives, and it applies all of the time. Think about how we live and the things that we do in our lives. I know it's probably hard for you to believe, but every once in a while, Mrs. Fleming and I may have a differing of opinions. I know, it's shocking. But when it's over, we can always have that moment of reconciliation, and when it's done, and even in the argument, there is a rebirth. There is a rebirth of the connection that was always there anyway. What matters is what we accomplish when we're here. It's not so much what we do when we're here, it's how we are changed when we are here. Ernest Holmes had an amazing quote. This thing's going to drive me nuts, and I'm going to lose it all. Oh, wow. Man does not exist for the purpose of making an impression on his environment. He does exist to express himself in and through his environment. There's a great difference. Man does not exist to leave a lasting impression upon his environment, not at all. It is not necessary that we leave any impression. It is not necessary, should we pass on tonight, that anyone should remember that we should ever have lived. All that means anything is that while we live, we live. And wherever we go from here, we shall keep on living. And when I read that, I cannot help but think of Phil. Phil lived. And wherever we go from here, we absolutely know that Phil continues to live. Let's see, I think, no, there's something next. We are here to express life, experience joy, and experience the giving of ourselves. Sometimes we really get down on ourselves, and we think that we have lost hope. There is a resurrection to all of our hopes and dreams within our lives. There is a life restored. We can beat that addiction. We can get out of these economic situations that we find ourselves in. We can escape the lack and limitation because we can have this resurrection within our lives. We can fall. We can take that drink. We can smoke that cigarette. We can fail to save. We can do all of the other things that we've done, but we don't have to give up because we know that that divine current is always within us, always pressing forward, always pushing us to a higher and better experience. We can experience that resurrection. I am reminded of a football game. I think most of you know that I'm a football fan. Well, in 1982, Stanford was playing California. And it was a tight game back and forth. And with 4 seconds to go on the clock, Stanford kicked a field goal that put them ahead by 1 point, 20-19. And the Stanford fans were wild and they're cheering and everybody's going on. And all that remained was for him to kick off and tackle a guy that caught the ball. So they kicked off with 4 seconds left. And the clock starts as soon as the other team touches the ball. Well, very, very brightly, they didn't kick it back to the swift receiver, sure-handed guy. They kicked it up to the kind of the front line where they had this linebacker up there, kind of a big hulking guy that was there to block. Well, the linebacker caught the ball. The clock's ticking down. Boop, the horn goes off. The game's over. And apparently, the linebacker is brought to the ground by the Stanford defenders. And at that moment, the Stanford band, in celebration, ran out onto the field. But what happened is, he didn't go down. Instead, he lateraled back. And another Cal player caught the ball and took off around the other end. Well, a team of Stanford people tackled him too. And as he's going down, he too lateraled. 6 times the California team, clock had expired, you know, was go, but the play gets to finish. So 6 times they lateral. And on the 6th time, the ball does land in the arms of that speedy, shifty, sure-handed receiver. And around the end he goes, and there's nobody in front of him between him and the end zone except the Stanford band. And he proceeded to juke and move and dodge in between around the band members, and he runs through, and he scored. With time expired, and the game is recorded as California wins 25-20. See, we can suffer that crucifixion of the winning field goal with 4 seconds left. But if we stick true and we allow that divine current to flow through us, and we allow God to express as God, we can lateral 6 times. Amen. We can even defeat the band. Not this band, not the band. At Easter, we're given a new way to look at the world and how we live in it. We're given the opportunity to restore our lives. If we look at ourselves as a product of the world, then we must look to the world as a source of our good. We become enslaved by it. It's very much like the Buddhist teachings that we have talked about and how we, if we become attached to material things, they come to own us. And our freedom from that is disattachment. It is the letting that go. We become enslaved to our material things. But if we see ourselves as expressions of spirit, as immortal beings, then we look to God for our source and supply. And then we never need to compromise the truth of ourselves. Then that divine current flows through us. What I want everybody to take away today is that with this foundation, with this understanding of the resurrection that is inherent within each and every one of us and within our lives, we can move through the challenges and crises of life more easily and with more grace, because we have the awareness of a greater good that is unfolding, and this is our restored life. I'm going to close with an excerpt from a talk that Ernest Holmes gave on Easter in 1956. Today, then, let us prepare to be whole, to be happy, to be free, to sing the song of life and not the dirge of the funeral march. And all those beloved friends who have gone, we know that there are bodies celestial and bodies terrestrial. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. For there is both a natural body and a spiritual body. So it has been written that the first man is of this earth, the second the Lord from heaven. And as we have all borne the image of this earth, so shall we also all bear the image of heaven. And let us think also then of those who have left that way, not dead, but risen, resurrected to the larger life, the greater hope, the more divine glory. They have but gone to a little nearer to the maker of all music, to the master of all singing, and though we have laid their physical bodies upon the altar of our faith, we know that their spiritual bodies are resurrected today and in joy walk in the kingdom of God and waft back to us a kiss from the kingdom of heaven. And so with the awareness of that eternal life, of the resurrection that is within each of us,